This is MSO News Sports. Our North Shore High School football coverage continues with Manchester Essex head football coach Joe Grimes. Coach, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Coach, you guys are in the playoffs. We got the note up above here in the post, the D7 playoffs. You're on the road, though. We'll get to that in just a moment. But you guys are coming off a huge win, 41-40 last week at Manning Field and Lynn against Kipp. And I want to get into this with your season, but you've been battle-tested at Manchester Essex all this season. But let's get to this last weekend's game and give us a note or two out of that.
Yeah, well, we've been stuck in this terrible pattern most of the beginning of the season of win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. And we couldn't get each one out of the way. And so it was really nice to break that pattern and get a W against a really good Kipp team. They're doing well. They're in the D8 playoffs. And, you know, they're a talented team. They've always been good. They run that spread offense, which is hard to defend in the sense that they could always break one, you know. So they're always that type of team, and they get some good athletes and all that stuff. And so our team, we played a real good, complete football game against a good team. And as a coach, you know, there's nothing we can be prouder of than when the guys go out there and actually, you know, execute on the game plan and really give the effort that we always hope that they have. And they did a really good job of that on last Saturday, and we were super proud of them.
I'm going to swerve before I get to your team and deviate just for a second. Tell me the difference. What do you think the difference is between this year's Kipp team and last year's Kipp team that did make it to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, so Kipp had, last year they had two really good skill position players. Their quarterback last year was all world. I think he won the MVP as a junior and as a senior for the Commonwealth League. This kid named Juan Settlesling, he was really talented guy, and he was a dynamic guy on both sides of the ball, so he was really a game changer. But he graduated last year, and so now they're bringing up some younger guys in those spots, and coach over there has some good guys in those spots, but they're younger, you know, and you can just kind of see that they're a little bit more kind of on that learning curve of it, but they're still kept, you know, they still have a lot of that good positive stuff they do, and I wouldn't doubt that their young guys will turn into those guys eventually. But they graduated a big senior class, and so they were a little younger this year, but still very talented, and they ran their offense really well. And they were tough, you know, they're a tough group of kids. And so, you know, that's it. You see a lot of the same things from the team, although the names and numbers change every year, but you can still tell that they have a really good culture and a really good kind of identity as a football team. And so we saw a lot of that. And just, you know, that guy last year, we're glad he graduated. You know, he was just an all-league guy, just a fast-running quarterback with an arm. You know, you got one of those guys that's a dual threat and tough to defend, so. You know, we weren't too upset about seeing him graduate. And then he had another good receiver. I think number five for them was a guy that, big, tall, good receiver, ran great routes and did that type of stuff. And, you know, just a once every couple of years type of kid, both of those guys they had last year. So they're still cultivating that next group up there. So it was, like I said, you could still tell it was Kipp, but you could tell that they're on their way to kind of, you know, not rebuilding is the right word, but, you know, they're just resetting to kind of take on what the 27, 26, you know, what those teams are going to look like.
Yeah, different look. You're right. And but I wanted to get your take on it, and thanks for doing that. All right, so your team. So tell us, give us some individual players, maybe their roles in last Saturday's win at Kipp, passing, running, defense. Where do you begin? And I think there must be like pages and pages of them, but just start somewhere with me if you could.
Well, I mean, with most high school teams, you know, you definitely start with your senior leaders and those types of guys. And one of our guys, Steven Martin, he's a running back linebacker for us. He went for 223 yards, on Saturday, and really set a good, you know, running game tone for just moving the ball and gaining positive yards and doing that type of stuff. And I'm not sure if that was his best yardage game ever, but that was a really, we didn't even realize how many yards it was to the end of the game, but he was just our bell cow that game, you know, and doing that type of stuff. And that's what you expect out of a senior captain and the senior running back and all those things that go along with just controlling the game with the ball. That was really important to get going there. So we didn't throw the ball a ton. We did it selectively, but we really just kind of tried to pound it and control the flow of the game as much as we could and try and break one here and there. And that was our approach to that game. Our defense did a really good job. Like I said, I can't tell you how much respect I have for that Kipp offense. They are talented and they've been running through the league and doing a really good job this year. And on defense, a couple of our guys, you know, really stepped up. One of our other captains, Troy Flood, who's our two-way O-line, D-line guy, he really set the tone on defense for us and did a really good job of controlling that line up front and letting our linebackers and letting our defensive backs make plays by kind of just making sure that we kept pressure on and make the quarterback throw a little bit sooner than they hoped and all that stuff that goes with it. But you always like it when your senior leaders step up and do that type of stuff. You know, they set the tone for the younger guys because we do have some freshmen and sophomores out there. You know, those guys are really getting their first varsity reps this year. It's really good for them to be able to see Steve and Troy and all those guys kind of set that tone. And hopefully that bodes well for us for the 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026 Hornets and beyond.
Exactly. You know, when you see the score 41-40, you think, oh, there's got to be some big plays in this game, big offensive plays. Was that the case on both sides, or one side, or?
It was. You know, there were two big defensive plays. There was a pick six on our side, and then a fumble six on their side that came almost within about 5 or 10 plays of each other. That really kind of swung the momentum, and then swung the momentum right back real quick. And other than that, though, it was mostly offense. It was mostly guys just really executing their offense. And we were more methodical and kind of pounded it down 10, 12, 6, 7 yards at a time, little chunks and stuff like that. And they were more big chunk when they played. They got a couple, you know, 25, 30-yard runs where the guy would sneak through and get to the secondary and stuff like that and make a move. So it was a very interesting game. It was a very exciting game. Almost everybody who was there said, wow, what a good game. You know, it was a back and forth, and we had to come down and drive at the end to go ahead, and then they got the ball back with about a minute, and they almost made it. It was really just a good, well-played football game. You know, it wasn't a mistake fest. Both teams were actively trying to win and not make mistakes, and it was just kind of a grinded-out type of game, which is fine. You don't want to see a game end on a mistake or a bad fumble or something, or a bad call by the ref or something. It was just better to have, like, a good smash-mouth football game and just see who would come out on top of the end.
So it sounds to me like, and I'm, you know, asking this question in the sense kind of clearly defining you guys, but it sounds like your offensive line is getting the job done this season. Does that sound about right?
Absolutely, and what's been really nice in the past couple of games, the offensive line is kind of, with injuries and everything, it's stabilized these past couple of games. We've had guys in and out. We had a couple of broken fingers, a head injury here too. You know, we had all sorts of guys kind of, you know, piecemeal throughout the year coming in and out. And then the past two or three games, it's been the same group of guys and the same one or two key subs getting in there. It's been kind of, it's normalized, and those guys are really kind of cohesively, not that they weren't coming together before, but now they're finally all playing together with some consistency, and it's been great.
All right. So so now it's on to Cohasset Friday night, the number two seed, but a four and three record. Obviously, they're there because of their strength of schedule, I would imagine. And so how do you look at this game? What do you know about Cohasset, and what kind of game do you expect? And again, you guys are coming off that big win last week.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like I said, they're a 4-3 team, and they just won two big games to make it into the playoffs to qualify, to get enough wins. And so they're not your typical two seed at the top of the bracket. You know, that might just be, I think Uxbridge is the top. They're 8-0, and they ran away from everybody. And these guys are a two seed. They're a very consistent and solid team. You know, that's how we've kind of looked at it in the film that we've seen. They're very, they don't make a ton of mistakes. They're good size, but they're just, from watching the film, you can tell that they're well coached and that they don't make too many, you know, mental errors or the silly 5-yard errors, 5-yard penalties that screw up drives and stuff like that. They execute their offense really well. But, you know, like I said, they're not one of those teams that you just look at and go, oh, my God, the size of these teams, or oh, my God. But they just play consistent, you know, solid football. You know, they look like they're not going to make too much mistakes. So it's not one of these games where we think that, you know, they're going to pound us or anything like that, that they're going to come in and just roll us over, you know, with a bunch of 6'8 animals or anything like that, or some crazy situation. They're going to come in and play a professional, you know, style, very meticulous, you know, waiting for us to make a mistake and try and capitalize on that. And so if we can, I mean, you could say this about any football game, but really, if we can limit mistakes and we can, you know, execute our game plan the way that we wanted to, I think we'll be in a good, you know, coin flip matchup where we can just, you know, again, see who the best team is that comes out at the end. But, you know, that's what I think. They're consistent and they're solid. They play in that South Shore League where they have, they play some really good competition down there. So, you know, they're going to, it's not like one of these leagues where they're the only team to come out of the league and they're the best ones. They just feel blowouts all the time. This is a team that plays in a good competitive league, and that's how at 4-3 they can get really good playoff points. And that means that they're battle tested. That means that they're not going to be afraid of the moment. They're not going to come in, you know, and worry and be like, oh, what are we going to do? You know, they're going to prepare and they're going to be ready to go on Friday. And that's great. That's what we're looking for a matchup. You know, it's a team that we, you know, we can see what they do and tell what they do and just say, all right, let's go try and beat it. You know, that's going to be great. Not trying, oh, let's try and catch on to this. Let's try and find a way to sneak in here. Let's go and play an honest-to-God football game and see how it goes.
I think you see in these divisions, the power rankings are pretty good, but they're not perfect. And I think that you can see in certain divisions maybe that, you know, maybe it's easier to say this after the playoffs end, but that, you know, that your ranking isn't totally defining of the quality of team. Does that sound about right to you?
That's the part of the system that's interesting, right? So we've only been in the system for 4 years or so, or 5 years or whatever it may be. And it's just kind of different than how the old system worked, where you know, big wins against other opponents and big wins against up, down. And, you know, yeah, that whole part of it was kind of interesting. And so, yeah, it's almost, I don't want to say unnatural because that makes it sound bad, but it's almost like one of those things that's counterintuitive of how it really works and how that feel is. So as it goes through the year, it's always fun to kind of say like, oh, that's interesting. And so I think we need still a couple more years before we really have a good understanding of like how that flow is. But at the end of the day, the system is good because all you're trying to do is win. So no matter what the outcome, whatever your points say, what your job is, your next game is to win by up to 14 points or as many points as possible. So it aligns the incentives with what we're trying to do, which is positive, but it is kind of sometimes has some artificial, you know, some artificial kind of things come out, some artifacts come out of it where it's like, oh, that's interesting. Or a 4-3 team, or like Everett, where they were 7-1 and didn't make the playoffs. You know, strange things like that happen. And it's still kind of I'm not going to say a bad system, but a peculiar system sometimes. So it's just sometimes it's interesting to say, oh, how'd that shake out?
Well, I think we're all for rewarding strength of schedule. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But on the other hand, as you were talking, I'm thinking of the Everett situation itself. And like you look, if it was your division and Everett's there, and I know there are different divisions and so on, but there's a team that didn't make the playoffs, but everybody would guess that this Everett team would contend very well in the Division I playoffs if they were in there. Not saying they'd win it, but they'd compete.
And that's where I think the proposals that have been out there about adding more emphasis onto the win total, you know, maybe counting that a little bit more or having some sort of balance between strength and schedule. Right now it's a 50-50 blend. Yeah. So it would be interesting to see if they put more emphasis on that, because no one really wants to see that, even though it's probably, you know, the average situation is probably because of their strength of schedule, obviously. But, you know, no one wants to see, you know, teams that, like you were saying, kind of obviously should be in the playoffs getting bounced out, you know, like teams, or vice versa, having a team that's doing well for some reason, you know, or a team sneak in that doesn't really have the bona fides for it. But I mean, that's always going to happen with whatever system. They're never all perfect.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. All right, Joe, anything else you want to share with us about Manchester Essex football or about the matchup this week at Cohasset? I got one question for you. Are you going by land or by sea? I mean, you could go either way, I'm thinking.
No joke. If we could find a boat big enough, I think we could probably make it by sea a little bit faster than Friday afternoon, driving through the city and doing that. So
no,
we played one game this year down in Rockland, in that South Shore League, and so we got a little bit of taste of what it is to get down there on a Friday afternoon. But you know, it's part of it. We're not too worried about it. You know, these guys. What's nice about playoff time of year is you really don't have to get them too fired up. These guys are already fired up. You know, they put tons of effort to make it into the playoffs and make it to that point. So it's gonna. I'm not too worried about the guys being fired up. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I think too. The other thing I was thinking of too for you, coach, is if you're coming off a big win and you don't have a playoff game next, then you got to worry about getting the team ready. But you're coming off a big win. You don't have to worry about getting these guys ready to go for Friday night, I don't think.
That's right. And I don't care how long a bus ride you throw at us, they're still gonna be pretty fired up once they step out that door. So that's what we don't worry about it too much. I'm more worried about weather and, you know, if we're going to have a good game, if that's going to be a factor or anything. But it should be actually a nice little fall night, and it should be great.
You got it. Coach, thank you so much for your insights and information on the team, and best of luck Friday night on the road.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the coverage. Good luck to you guys, too.
You got it. All right, Joe Grimes with us, head football coach, Manchester Essex, here on MSONewsSports.com.